and welcome to SearchContentManagement.com. I'm Lauren Horwitz, an executive editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group. While SharePoint 2013 has been out for nearly a year, there's still a good deal of confusion about the differences between SharePoint on-premises and SharePoint Online, which is part of the Office 365 suite. Legitimately, enterprises have some questions about which path is right for them in terms of cost and licensing, features, and security concerns. Today, we're here with SharePoint expert Scott Robinson to discuss these issues and to give companies a sense of how to make the choice between purchasing SharePoint on-premises and SharePoint in the cloud. So welcome, Scott.
Well, it's great to be here, Lauren.
Oh, good, good. So I have a lot of questions for you about this to help.
Let's dive in.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, so my first question is, you know, there's a lot of talk about Office 365. So what exactly is it, and how does SharePoint Online figure into that?
Well, Office 365 is basically Microsoft's bid to pull everyone into the cloud. And I guess everybody out there, unless you've been hiding in a rainforest somewhere, you're aware of cloud technology and the fact that that's kind of where the world is headed. There's the Amazon cloud, you got Google out there, there's the iCloud, and Microsoft's bid to pull everyone into the cloud is to offer infrastructure at a very reasonable price, to have a big multi-tenant farm out there that you can subscribe to and put your stuff in and gain a whole lot of benefit that you can't get as cheaply at home. So Office 365 is basically full Office functionality, the entire Office business product suite, available in the cloud for basically subscriptions at various levels. There's a lot of benefit to that. The benefit on Microsoft's side is they've already got all this infrastructure sitting out there, and the idea is they just build on that infrastructure and make more money. Makes sense for small and medium businesses and for home deployment, because you basically don't have to invest in infrastructure. You just need to subscribe. Now, the interesting thing about the SharePoint piece of Office 365, which is called SharePoint Online, is that SharePoint infrastructure, when you're setting it up at home, not at home, but on-premises, you're talking a pretty big job. To set up a SharePoint environment requires a fair number of servers, depending on how much you're going to be putting into SharePoint. It involves a lot of babysitting because it's difficult to maintain. It involves a lot of work and expense. And to have infrastructure out there in the cloud that gives you SharePoint functionality is a pretty powerful thing. And one aspect of this that I think is really interesting is that SharePoint itself is essentially cloud technology. If I do an on-premises deployment of SharePoint, in principle, I've built a cloud in-house. Because it's basically the same concept. You're putting content out there into a place that's not on your desktop, and it's not on an application-specific server. It's out there in a shared resource. So basically, when we have SharePoint Online, we're just taking the idea of SharePoint and putting it out there in the cloud.
So that's really helpful. It sounds like, you know, there's the possibility to save on management tasks and also potentially on infrastructure costs. But are there But are there things that SharePoint Online can't do that SharePoint on-premises can do?
Quite a few. If you want to take the plunge into SharePoint Online, there are situations where it's good to do and situations where you might want to rethink it. The biggest problem that you're going to have, and the biggest complaints that are coming out there from the user community right now, if you're going SharePoint Online, and a lot of good reasons to do it, but you're going to be facing some limitations that are typical of being in a multi-tenant environment. By multi-tenant, we mean that you've got many companies sharing one piece of infrastructure. By definition, the Microsoft Cloud has thousands and thousands of tenants. In a multi-tenant environment, you can only do so much customization, or you have to spend a great deal to achieve that customization, which wipes out the benefit of being in the cloud. Now, that's not necessarily a limitation of SharePoint Online itself. It's a limitation of multi-tenant environments. So if you want to make use of SharePoint Online, you're going to be limited in the customization you can do to your SharePoint sites. You're going to find that a lot of web parts in your web part catalogs on premises deployment will be far more difficult to achieve if you can get them to work at all in a multi-tenant environment. So So the biggest limitation is customization. SharePoint Online, go for it, but you're going to be limited in how you can customize. Now, that said, there's a whole third-party industry evolving right now of companies that will do that customization for you and will work with Microsoft's multi-tenant infrastructure to bring your customization about. That's not as expensive as doing it yourself and doesn't require in-house expertise, but you're still facing a hurdle.
So now let's talk a little bit about scenarios where SharePoint Online might actually be the better choice for companies.
A lot of good reasons why you would want to go SharePoint Online, even if you're, you know, enterprise scale, a very large company. The biggest, I think, was an example I can give you is Toyota. Toyota is one of the biggest companies out there, obviously, and they had the problem recently of a SharePoint environment, or not a SharePoint environment, but a portal environment that contained hundreds of thousands of pages of information that they wanted put out there publicly to sell people on their products. Tons of information, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pages of information available, and millions of page hits. And what they wanted to do was make this system more efficient and make it more easy to navigate. So what they decided to do was do a SharePoint Online deployment specifically for publicly putting out all of this content. And that's what they did. Now, a public-facing deployment is a good idea to do SharePoint Online, because basically what you want to do is put information out there, and you don't need it to be very finely discriminated. You don't have different groups of users. You basically just have a bunch of consumers that you want to know about your products. That's a great reason to use SharePoint Online. Another aspect of that that mattered in the Toyota instance is that if I'm creating a portal and I'm using SharePoint Online as the, you know, my platform for the portal, I'm not constrained by the public site collection limitation in SharePoint. SharePoint on-premises allows you to do as many site collections as you care to. Site collection, for those who aren't familiar, is a group of sites that are based on a master site, so that I can have a great many sites that are kind of about one thing. Well, you can only have one public-facing site collection if you're using SharePoint Online. But if I'm just putting stuff out there for the public, that doesn't matter.
So we've talked a little bit about some of the concerns with SharePoint Online in terms of this multi-tenant environment that the cloud is all about, and also customization. So can you talk a little bit more about what kinds of companies might not want to go with SharePoint Online and might really want to stick with an on-premises structure?
One instance, one kind of company, rather, that might not want to go with the online deployment would be a company that has applications that are fat applications, where a site needs to have a great deal of custom functionality. Whether it's public-facing or not, if I have functionality that requires an awful lot of middle-tier crunching, applications that have highly customized web parts, you know, driving the processes, that would be a very bad environment to deploy in SharePoint Online would be a very bad environment for that sort of deployment. If I were a company that had very complex enterprise search requirements, where my content was just all over the place, not just stuff feeding dashboards from SQL, which SharePoint does very well, but all kinds of content that needed to be searchable, that were file types that were not Office standard, very large graphics files, media files, things like that. That would be in a situation where I don't think that SharePoint Online would be where I would want to go.
So tell us a little bit about licensing and SharePoint Online. There's a lot of confusion about how this works.
The licensing is not as difficult as a lot of the conversations you'll see out there on the web would make it out to be. Essentially, if you're at the enterprise level, and in this discussion we're talking about the enterprise level, you've got several different tiers, and they label them E1 through E4. It's basically as simple as this. You're going to be buying access for users, essentially licenses per user, and you're going to be paying a monthly fee, which rounds down to a particular number if you buy a year at a time. Now, that starts at $8 per month per user, which gives you basic Office 365 functionality in a SharePoint environment. That it goes up to, at the other end of the scale, $22 per month per user. And the differences between those layers are the level of business intelligence features that you have access to. Now, that gets tricky, and the reason that that's the driving force in the increase in the monthly fee is because the more business intelligence functionality that you've pulled into your SharePoint environment, the more infrastructure drain you're putting on the system. So in a multi-tenant environment, they want to parse all that out very carefully. Performance Point is now built into SharePoint. Excel Services, which is a huge, huge driver in SharePoint 2013, that's very resource intensive. So basically, when you go up from the E1 level to the E4 level of subscriptions, you're basically buying additional business intelligence functionality. Now, that's not all there is to it, but that's most of what it's about. And then beyond that, you can the actual storage that you're buying in terms of your CMS, that goes up at fairly reasonable rates. The problem being that if you're a very large-scale enterprise, you're up into the terabytes range, whereas if you're just a medium-sized business or a small enterprise, you might not get as high as a terabyte. And I wish I could quote all of the per gigabyte rates, but they basically boil down to, I think, 20 cents per gig per month or something like that, you know, if you need to add on. Not huge, unless you get up into the very high enterprise level like Toyota, where I'm sure they're paying an awful lot.
Okay, so that helps clarify things a little bit. And another important question came up at SP TechCon recently is, are there instances where you want to have both SharePoint Online and SharePoint on-premises and pay for both?
There absolutely are, and there are the scenarios where that makes sense. Probably we've only scratched the surface of those, you know, here in the past year since the 2013's been out. But the example I gave earlier of Toyota, where they've got a massive, massive enterprise, you know, a global company, you know, that's all over the world, tens of thousands of internal users and, you know, millions of customers, it makes sense to keep SharePoint on-premises when you're managing your company internal content and then putting out there for the public the stuff that where security is not a concern, where you want the broadest access possible. A portal for public access is a great reason to have SharePoint Online deployed without putting your on-premises stuff up in the cloud. You want to be on-premises when you've got complex enterprise search requirements, when you've got a great diversity of enterprise content, where it's not just strictly office stuff and things that you can cram into SQL conveniently. Another instance where you want to be mixing and matching is when you have information that you want out in the field for your workforce, where information needs to follow your employees wherever they go, geographically and device to device. One of the great things about Office 365 is basically that if you're a subscriber, you don't have to worry about your content being on any one device. You know, we all now have our laptops, we've got our desktops, we've got a machine at home, we've got a tablet, you know, we all have smartphones. We all have multiple devices where we need to do our work. And at any given moment in the day, I might be off in another state or on an airplane or wherever, and whatever device I happen to have in my hand, I need to do my work on that device. It makes great sense to have SharePoint Online deployed so that your workforce can have that convenience and then maintain back at home the on-premises environment for all the complicated stuff, the stuff that isn't to do with people just, you know, doing their daily, you know, work. So it makes sense to mix and match. And let me add another bit, just because of what I just said about Office 365. The default for on-premises SharePoint 2013 right now is to make SharePoint the location of all of your Office files. If I have SharePoint 2013 deployed, then I no longer am storing my Word files and my Excel files and my PowerPoint files on any device. They're all going into the SharePoint CMS. That's the default now. I don't have to do it that way, but that's what Microsoft is encouraging us to do. It works all the better in a SharePoint Online environment.
Okay, well, that's a great place to kind of end for today, and you've helped parse some of the details of how licensing and features work in both SharePoint Online and on-premises. So thank you very much, Scott.
Thank you.
Oh, sure. We'll be talking again with you very, very soon, I'm sure. So thanks again.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. Definitely. So thanks again to Scott Robinson for taking the time to talk about SharePoint in the cloud and on-premises today. And for more, check out searchcontentmanagement.com. Until next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz. Thanks very much for listening.